Do da 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 da. Oh dee, oh dee, da da da. Hello?
Hey, Mom, what are you doing?
Hi, honey. I was just thinking about you. I wanted to talk to you about something.
About what?
Well, hi, it's Mom. I discovered today that, happily, I don't think I'm a cynic yet, as I went into the differences between being a cynic and a skeptic. And apparently a cynic is someone who will always see the downside and deny that there is a good side at all, which I'm not yet. So I suppose I'm more of a skeptic in that I'm doubtful. I don't know if it's an oxymoron to be a naive skeptic or a naive cynic, or if there's even such a thing. Anyway, preface that to, this is Mom on Lesser of Two Evils. I got to thinking about the Lesser of Two Evils and wondered where it all started. And that goes way back to a lot of Greek philosophy, and I'm not even going to go into all that. As the lesser of two evils is used nowadays, it generally pertains to our politics in the United States and policies. And I live in the United States. I talk about the United States because I'm not a world traveler. I've never lived in another country, and I don't presume to know. So all I can speak about is what I know. So that's why I talk about being in the United States. The lesser of two evils we all know about, and we're presented with it, maybe not always in our everyday lives, maybe because we have a little more control in our everyday lives, but we are presented with it oftentimes when it comes to elections. The lesser of two evils as a policy, from what I read, began around the events of World War II, where the United States and other nations found themselves becoming allies to defeat a common enemy. Whereas the United States may have said, well, we're going to become allies with Russia because we see that as the lesser evil to Hitler. Russia said, well, we'll become allies with the United States because we see them as a lesser evil in Hitler. Hence, he who's against my enemy is my ally. Before World War II, the United States had a clearer idea on what was evil and what was good. Democracy, we're a republic. But we saw democracy as being good and communism as being evil. Things were clearer then. When World War II came along, with these alliances that it brought about, things got a little bit grayed. There's a Churchill quote about if Hitler was trying to invade hell, he would make an argument for the devil in the parliament. That's how bad everyone saw Hitler as, and he was. What World War II brought about was a change, and also the Cold War, which Russia had been our ally in World War II, and then with the divisions that came after World War II, we had distribution of the Nazis with Operation Paperclip and Clip and such. And they became involved in a lot of things. And we began races for things and whatever. Hence, we had the Cold War, which I lived through, and we learned a lot, my generation, about communism and the Iron Curtain, which I don't think this generation really understands. And that's understandable. I didn't understand the Depression when my parents told me about it. But I said all that to say that after World War II, it became more of a decision for the United States to choose the lesser of two evils. Do we go with dictators in countries who seem to be supportive of capitalism, or do we allow democracies or elected officials in countries who are against our interests? Which kind of goes back to the cognitive dissonance that I talked about on the Festinger podcast, and it created a dilemma. And at that point, when even in a democratically elected government, we would go in and try to get people in power who were sympathetic to our interests, even if they were terrible dictators. Iran-Contra illustrates that. The lesser of two evils taken to an extreme. And does anyone even remember Iran-Contra anymore? I know what I thought at the time is not what I've learned since I investigated it. We had officials in the interest of keeping communism off our back door, fighting democratically elected officials in Central America. I don't know what the answer is. I don't claim to know what it is. But I see this lesser of two evils demonstrated in that, even as policy, and I see it in elections in my country. What do you do about it? I don't know. If you had asked me a while back, and if I would ever consider not voting, I would have told you absolutely not. But in doing some research on this, I see some arguments that a lot of people in this country are not voting, not because they don't care, but because they feel they're making a statement by not voting. They feel that if no one voted, then these politicians wouldn't be able to say that the people elected them, which, no matter how you feel about that, is, I think, a valid argument. But I think voting is very important, and yet I'm troubled by seeming to always have the lesser of two evils. I think that the primary elections are sometimes even more important than the main elections, because at that point, you do have a little say. I'm troubled by the campaign monies that are needed to run for office in this country. By the time you get enough money to run, unless you're extremely wealthy on your own and can spend millions of dollars out of your own pocket, by the time you collect enough funds to put ads on and do what you need to do, quite often you're sold out to the people that donated, and you're no longer maybe the pure heart you might have been when you started. I did see a great article. It was on the freemanonline.org by Leonard Reed, R-E-A-D, called The Lesser of Two Evils, published in September of 2004, Volume 54, Issue 9. It was a great article. And in that, it was suggested, even though the author agrees that it might never, that it's probably not ever going to happen, but I thought it was a great point that, what if we had lots for who was going to serve one term in the Congress, and just everyone who wasn't disqualified by some incapacity to serve, which that I know gets into a whole can of worms. Seems like everything gets into a can of worms and can be misused. But let's say that those who could not serve for some valid reason couldn't serve, and that every couple years or whatever the term would be, anyone, your neighbor, you, could be sent to Washington. I think it's a great idea. Now, will it ever happen? No. But then, would that be cynical to say it'll never happen? Who knows? The premise was that people, if you thought you might be in Congress next year, you would keep up more on the issues and have to search your soul and realize that you would be representing your district or whatever, and it might make people more self-studied. I think it's kind of interesting. It was likened to jury duty, which I think the jury system is probably one of the last things we have that is an ordinary person, although I know that you can get into that with the way they choose juries, but we're not going there. Term limits. I think we should have term limits. I think we should vote on the salary of politicians. I think we should vote on a lot of things. Now, would people vote? I don't know. But those things would help. Then I come down to government is huge. People that are in power don't want to change that. And how do you remedy this problem? All the good ideas, all of the good suggestions are coming from people who aren't in power and want to change them. But sometimes it doesn't seem like we're being listened to. I do think the argument starting on a local level, someone made the statement, why start at the top? Let's start at the bottom. I think that's great. I think that would be a good way to get involved and make sure you vote in local and state elections for sure. Maybe you'd have a little more sway there. I don't know. But the lesser of two evils, the point is made that the lesser of two evils is still evil. But what do you do when you're forced to choose the lesser of two evils? By doing nothing, yes, as I stated earlier, you can say that's making a statement. But so often, we're just trying to slow down what seems to be coming. What do we do? And it was brought up in another really good article. It was brought up in a very good article called The Lesser of Two Evils Myth by Lee R. Shelton IV in 2004. If you Google for that, I'm sure you can find it. It was brought up in that about drawing a line in the sand. Where's your line? If you had to vote between Hitler and Stalin, would you vote? Wow. These are just things I'm thinking about that are so confusing. And I don't say that I have any answers. In fact, I thought about not even doing this podcast because I don't have any answers. I think if there is an answer, it would be to begin with an individual, to begin with yourself, myself, to realize that there is more to this life than what we see, to have faith that we're not going to live forever, and in the end, it comes down to my conscience, your conscience, our beliefs. If each person would examine their own motives, their own beliefs, their own conscience, that could make a difference. But is that idealistic? I don't know. Maybe I am a skeptical idealist. I wanted to bring forth some points that I thought were interesting. And I think thinking about what if we had a cast your lot in type system where you didn't know if you would be representing the people in your district in the next term. That would be something that would really make people wake up, wouldn't it? The lesser of two evils also reminds me of what my father used to tell me, and also I believe I learned it in driving school. Avoid a head-on collision at all costs. If it means running into a concrete wall, running into a lake, running into a tree, avoid a head-on collision. Because if you run into another car going 60 miles an hour and you're going 60 miles an hour, you got a double whammy. If you run into something stationary, at least you're still going 60 miles an hour, but you're not running into something that's going 60 miles an hour. Well, I understand that. But running into that concrete wall may or may not prolong your life. may cause its own problems. And I'm not saying you shouldn't avoid it. I mean, I still live by that. You know, I mean, you've got a chance. And who in that situation really has time to think? But I got to thinking about that. One may mean instant death. One may mean prolonged disability, horrible pain, for the sake of living a little longer. I know this can be taken wrong, but I've got to say something. And I suppose I'm confronted with do nothing. Do what is politically correct. Do what my peer group thinks I should do, or to go by what I feel and what my heart tells me. And my heart tells me that I'm not a politician, I'm not a political science, you know, doctor. I'm nothing. I'm just an average person who has concerns and who finds that it seems everywhere I turn, everything is so complicated. But I know that I'm not a cynic because I don't have preconceived ideas. I mean, I do. I'm a human. I have some preconceived ideas, but I am open. And I try to look at all sides. And I wonder sometimes if that makes me wishy-washy, because I change my opinions. I grow. But isn't that all we can do? I wish I had a happy note to end this on. I wish I had the answer. But it reminds me of when I've been stuck in the mud or in the sand in a car, and you get in that rut and you punch the accelerator and you just dig yourself deeper and deeper, and finally you got to call a tow truck or get somebody to pull you out. Only this almost seems like there's no tow truck. So what does that mean? You got to get down and get dirty, and hopefully you got the help of some friends. Maybe you can flag some people down, and somehow or another, we're either going to have to lift this thing out of the rut, or we're going to have to dig it out ourselves. But most of the time, if somebody sees you, if there's anyone around, digging your car out of a rut with your bare hands, somebody's going to stop to help, and then somebody else will stop to help, and someone else will stop to help, and you might just get the car out. But you can't just abandon the car. I mean, you could, but I don't know. As I said, work from the local, state level. Look at yourself. I know I'm looking at myself. Remember cognitive dissonance? Sometimes you have to change what you think in the light of new information. Instead of just going along blindly, believing what you believe. And isn't that what cynics do? They believe that no one is good and that everything is bad and nothing will change their mind. I think being a skeptic is good. I think it's good to doubt everything at first sight. Maybe even doubt yourself sometime, as long as you're working for an answer. Because a skeptic can be convinced, and a cynic won't be. A cynic is only convinced that everything is bad. I don't want to be a cynic. I don't want to be a cynic. I don't want to be naive, but I don't want to be a cynic. And there's enough of an idealist left in me that I do believe that there are a lot of good people. And that there is an answer if I look to God. I don't think I have the answer, but I believe that there is an answer. And whether it's in this world, I don't know. I don't know what's happening anymore. It's as if the backdrop to this play I've been living in, someone's from the back got a knife going down it, and suddenly I realize it's just a backdrop. And now I'm looking backstage and wondering, what in the world? The illusion is just gone. So I suppose the hope is for me, in God, in good, that there is light in the world, that with enough personal change and growth and enough prayer, whether the system can be changed or not, we can change each other, or let each other, more than change each other, allow people to grow on their own, believe in each other. Test, yes, let people earn your trust, but let people have personal freedom. I'm learning I don't want to be a judge. I don't want to judge people. I have to look at my own progression through life and realize that in another year, where will I be? What will I believe? I feel that my faith in God is the only thing that is secure. And that seems possibly pessimistic, maybe optimistic. I don't know which way you want to look at it. So have I done anything here? Have I made anyone think? It's difficult to think when the issues are so complex. If there were total darkness and no stars and no moon and the world was in total darkness, and I knew that if I walked one way I might fall off a cliff, would I just sit down and cry? Would I give up, or would I just start walking and hope that the sun comes up? I mean, we've got to do something. And I believe that God will tell each one of us what to do in our own personal journey. But the lesser of two evils, I don't know, is there a third option? What is the third option? Yes, there are a lot of things if we go back to the beginning and regroup everything. But I don't know how that's going to happen. So I suppose we just keep talking to each other, encouraging the good in others, do what we can, and in the end know that there is no security in this world. See beyond the illusions. Deal with reality. Be a little skeptical of what you hear that may not go along with, or maybe that goes along with what you've believed. Investigate. Just some thoughts. Hope you have a good day, good evening, whenever you're listening. And I will talk to you later. Bye.
You are listening to Free Music by Dan O. Download free MP3s at danosongs.com.